I think that's such a wonderful point. And there's another aspect of this that just want us to think about. If much is to be made of the Father, if much is to be made about his name, hallowed be your name, doesn't that set for us the focus of what prayer really is about? How often is prayer about me?
Yeah.
And he says the first thing is to make your name great. That if we can get to the point in our communion with God that what is more important is what is going to make his name great, what's going to present him, what's going to be for his honor, what's going to be for his display, than what it is for my own blessing, then we're moving and making progress in this matter of prayer.
Brethren, I also, in this expression, our Father, I find a greater level of intimacy, because of who Christ is. For instance, this, here that the disciples ask the Lord, teach us to pray. And verse 20 said unto them, when ye pray, say, our Father. Now the Lord Jesus, he does not appear to me. In all his prayers, he never says, our Father. In the Gospel of Mark, we find him say, Abba, Father. As our brother John has wonderfully brought out that distinction. He says, Abba, Father, whereas we as adopted sons, we cry, Abba, Father, because by the spirit of adoption. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, we find the Lord Jesus Christ in the garden. There he says, O my Father, if this be possible, that this cup may pass. And he prays three times, and three times, O my Father. For whereas the prayer which is given to us here as a model for us saints, as the sons of God, we say our Father. And this is also true, we may observe, when the Lord Jesus rose from the dead, he said to Mary Magdalene, go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father. And to my God and your God. So it speaks about there is that greater level of intimacy, although here, by this expression, the Lord Jesus Christ is all because of grace. He is bringing us into the fellowship with the Father. Therefore, in 1 John, we find the Apostle John asserting that he says, our fellowship is with the Father. And with his Son, Jesus Christ. But because who Christ is, he is the Son of God from eternity. He is the only begotten of the Father. And Christ has a peculiar a place with the Father. He could only say, my Father. And nowhere, I'm not aware in any of the scripture portions there where the saints said, my Father. We say, our God and Father. God and our Father.
And also recognizing the holiness of his name would prevent us from praying amiss and asking something that is not accord with that character of the Father.
The expression in the Epistle to the Ephesians, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when those words, those expressions are used, then we know what the Apostle has in mind. When he says the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, then the Lord Jesus is viewed as the man Christ Jesus. When as the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, then he's viewed as the Son of the Father. And those two expressions are really the basis of all the blessings that we have received. It's because of that relationship that God has, that the Lord Jesus had made, has now revealed by his coming into the scene. All hinges upon that what he has revealed in his name and in those twofold aspects of his name presented to us. So we likewise, when we think of our position today as believers, when he is viewed as the man, Christ Jesus, he is the man of God's counsels. He's the one that's exalted high above heavens as the man, Christ Jesus. And we're associated with him, members of his body. He's the head of the body, which is his church. When he's viewed, as we've had the scriptures already before us, as the Father's Son, then we find that we are children of God, children of the Father. We're in a family relationship with him in that way. So this is, I believe, so much hinges upon the name. You know, it includes, as we many of our hymns express, the riches that is found in the name of the persons of our Lord and of the Father.
Just to keep moving us along, we can sort of leave this part of, and have this part sort of resonating in our minds as we think about the Father and hallowed be thy name, and the thought of addressing the Father, to whom do we pray. We also get the thought of the name and in connection with praying to the Lord Jesus. And so we have the wonderful reality that we can draw near to God in all that we've said, in intimacy, with reverence, with awe. But we also have the privilege of addressing the Lord Jesus Christ as well. In John 14, we can turn there. John 14, verse 13 and 14. In the Lord continuing his instruction with his disciples, and it's interesting, the setting of this instruction is closer. It's in the upper room. It's when it's just he and his disciples. And he says, in verse 13, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name. So we have hallowed be thy name with regards to the Father, and now we have this wonderful provision that the Lord Jesus Christ is making. He says, if you'll ask in my name, that will I do. And here's the motivation. This is what we've been talking about. That the Father might be glorified, that the Father might be made much of, that he might be displayed. And then he says, and you shall not ask anything, and if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. So not only do we have communion, this is what we just had, communion with the Father, but we also have this communion with the Son. We can address and ask and bring our requests to the Son in full confidence and assurance. And again, the name is brought before us.
Could we, before we move on there, could we possibly stand and sing verses 1 and 4 of hymn number 21? And then we go back to that verses 1 and verse 4 of hymn number 21. I'd like everyone to stand.